Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Now then, no rest for the wicked. Keith Wood, you're there.
I am. How are you? Good evening.
Good evening. We are right back into it, and certainly no rest for Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent, who is reacclimatizing to things like clean underwear. You're back.
Good man. I am indeed, Joe. They do have laundry in Japan.
So, well, you had a good time, I presume. It certainly looked, from your dispatches, like you thoroughly enjoyed it and found Japan to be a great place and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was really, really incredible. I remember being in here just before I went and not having any knowledge, exposing to the nation my lack of knowledge about Japan as a country. And I got thoroughly on board. I'd love to go back, not working, and see a bit more of the country. It was an incredible experience, an incredible place. 7 weeks is possibly a little bit too long to be away from home, but it was a lot of fun, and it was really good.
I haven't heard a bad word from anyone about it.
No, not really. The pillows are terrible. If I was to make one recommendation, is to make room to bring your own pillow to Japan. They fill them with what feels like ball bearings, which is not good, particularly when you're stuck in a hotel for like 2 weeks at a time. But apart from that, it's just new all the time. Yeah. It was funny, starting off at Tokyo was so really, really confusing. I ended up spending 3 weeks there at the end. You kind of get, it starts to wash over you, you start to get to acclimatize to it and get used to it. But every day there was something different and interesting to look at. And it was very Instagrammable as well. It was good for the summer.
Well, I saw that as well. Yeah, I was inundated. You'll be relieved to hear we're not going to have a what went wrong for Ireland conversation, because I think...
Where did we go from here?
They have been had. So, for the players, as much as everybody else, it's back into provincial life. Munster beat Ulster 22-16, and Leinster dispatched of Connacht with ease, really, 42 points to 11. Ireland, by the way, the women lost to Wales 15-13 at UCD. Gavin Cummins-Cummy had a good point in the Irish Times today that maybe Donnybrook would be a far better atmosphere here, a far better venue, and that's maybe a conversation we'll pick up again at some point. But we are into Champions Cup suddenly. Keith, Heineken Champions Cup. I think you're doing a game for us at the weekend. It's coming thick and fast for the players. I presume, really, not least the internationals, if we're going to get back into provincial life, then you might as well do it in Europe and have a bit of pizzazz about the thing then, you know, 5-6 weeks of Pro 14 ahead.
Yeah, it's funny when you see players that are coming back from a World Cup, and I was trying to drift back to the worst previous day that we had in World Cup history, which was against Argentina in Lens. And we played 5 days later against Leinster up in Donnybrook, I think it was, actually, as it turned out at the time. Just shows you how the game has changed, that we could fit in Donnybrook at that stage. And we just wanted to get out onto the field again and show that what had happened in the previous game wasn't what we were all about. Rugby can be incredibly chastening. And it's funny, I snuck out there for the last couple of weeks and talked to a lot of the ex-players and, you know, guys that have held the trophy aloft. And one thing that has stuck out an awful lot more this time around, almost over anything else that I've come across, is that a lot of the players, especially the South African players, looked like this was just joy for them, that it wasn't pressure for them. And that a lot of the players that had held the trophy aloft had said of the enjoyment that they had had on the run to go and hold the trophy up. So I don't know whether we need to have a bit of a change. I know there's been talk about the pressure and everything from it, but that we need to talk about that it's a bit of a privilege to be playing for your country, that there is pressure, but that it's also, this is a pretty cool thing that every kid that has ever kicked a rugby ball would want to go and do. And is there any way that we can lighten the mood or lessen the pressure or enjoy ourselves a little bit more? And I do a lot of work with companies, and one of the things we would say in terms of it is part of your job is to enjoy what you do. And I would have said that there was a little bit of a lack of joy. And so to bring back to the question that you asked for Champions Cup, the idea that guys are getting back in for something else and getting a chance to go and play again and hopefully back to enjoying themselves again, because it just wasn't enjoyment for the World Cup for us. It was pressure, and it seemed boiler pressure for the whole time. It just didn't seem comfortable. Like, the guys, this is their job. And much and all, as we're fans and we want to be cheering them and extolling them and exhorting them onto other things, you kind of want to enjoy what you do on a day-to-day basis. So I'm hoping they're being looked after when they go back. Of course, they go into interprovincial matches like they had at the weekend. And you could see on certain players, there was a bit of joy in there again. So I think we need to remember that just a little.
I think that's true to say. I haven't been around the semi-finalists. I didn't do much Wales, but I was around the other semi-finalists before the final. He's completely right. There was a much lighter sense about them, even though they were approaching the biggest games of their lives. They were way just more relaxed than the Irish players were in the public-facing part of it. They seemed to be enjoying themselves an awful lot more. Razzy Erasmus brought this great sense of perspective to the South African setup. You heard his quotes after the final. They all seemed to engage with Japan an awful lot more than Ireland did. There was a much more, you know, Ireland almost came and went without leaving any sort of a trace, whereas other teams seemed to enjoy themselves, seemed to embrace the place a lot more. And it is definitely, I think we will see that. I think Danny Farrell will. I know you didn't want to go to World Cup Ireland thing.
I refuse to be dragged into this. Where did it all go wrong?
No, this is it.
We don't need one answer. You both managed to do it.
But I think
this
Andy Farrell.
This is negative. This is positive.
But I think Andy Farrell will bring that.
We're not going here.
I think we're going to see a very different approach from Andy Farrell. He's a very different character, and that is a good thing. And I think we're seeing that. I think if you watch the Leinster body language on Friday night, and even seeing the way Ulster were celebrating their scrum penalties, and Jack McGrath looked like he did a bit of life to him for the first time in a year or so. Mm. I think that the provinces will always play a role in rehabilitating the players in that way, but I do think that, you know, injecting a bit more fun and enjoyment into it will be a big thing over the next couple of years.
Well, now you're doing a where do we go from here, which is the other side of that coin, and we're not doing it. Ulster had played 6-1-4, because I'm sure people have been very consumed with the World Cup and may not have been given the Pro 14 their full attention. So Ulster played 6-1-4, Munster played 6-1-5, tries from Stander, a scandal, and a scorcher from Conway, Keith, who is continuing his good form and probably feels fit as a fiddle post-World Cup. Beyond that, what did you take from the game? Were Munster fairly comfortable winners here?
The scoreline doesn't look like it, and actually they went behind with about 7 or 8 minutes to go, and having been in total control of the game, but they still got their way down the pitch to score again by Conway's sparkling score, actually. Great running lines, great acceleration. They looked in total control, and I thought they lost a little bit of composure in the middle of it. And look, I've looked at all these games during the season. I've actually watched these games as well as watching World Cup games. Ulster look a bit lean on some of their talent. They lost one of the matches earlier on. They said the same game that Munster lost earlier on, and yet at times they look sparkling, but at times they just look as if they're really shy on their forwards. And Munster should have won that game by 15 or 20 points and didn't finish them off. So I think they'll learn an awful lot from that. They also integrated a lot of players back in, more players than Ulster did back in. For me, it looked in stark contrast. Again, we look at different players. Conway came back, I'm going to say, hungry and energetic and gunning for Road. You know, he played well when he got a chance. He didn't get as much of a chance he could have liked to. Stockdale came back, wasn't involved in the game at all. And I think that's understandable. He's a young kid. He's had a very difficult tournament. He's had a very interesting start to international rugby, where he scores tries for fun, but he's exposed defensively. He's trying to learn his tradecraft trying to learn it in the middle of a World Cup. That's a tough place to do it. So this is a hard time for him to come back from a huge high from a very young kid. So we need to watch him over the next 3 or 4 months to see how he gets on. And also, he needs to be minded to make certain that he can get back to that try-scoring ability that he has.
Yeah. Munster had a 6-2 split on the bench, very South African. And Van Graan was asked about this afterwards, and he said, this is actually the way the game is going now. That if you're sitting there, you know, an hour into a game and you're looking at the pitch, will you more than likely want to replace an outside back or a lock? He says, quite often now it's a forward. Are we going to see more and more of this? Is this the way the game is going, Keith?
I think it can do, but it depends on the players you have at your disposal. And if you actually looked at Munster's bench at the weekend, it was an excellent bench. It was fairly heavy hitting, plenty of players to kind of bring on to do that. If you have sparkling backs that you can't get onto the field, you may not go for 6-2 split. So it suits teams that play a very particular style of play. South Africa play it. Munster play it a bit No, you're not as much as South Africa do it, but it suited them and suited them for the weekend. Though I have to say, Munster looked slicker. Their handling was slicker. There has been a change. No, we haven't seen it in white hot competition, and that's often the case with, but it has changed slowly. It needs to change an awful lot more. And I think coaches can have that impact. And Munster's coaching ticket are only betting themselves in at the moment. But you can see Larkham's influence on it. There is a willingness to have a bit of a cut more often.
Well, that's the next point, Rory, as we look ahead to European action. So Munster's pool four has been called a pool of death, or certainly one of them. So they're in with Saracens, who will come to, because there is a question mark over Saracens' priorities. In fact, there's not a question. Mark McCall has been very clear on that. It ain't Europe this year, actually, given what's happened to them. But Saracens are in there nonetheless. They'll have Simon Zebo at Thomond Park in 2 weeks' time with Racing. And then they're away to Ospreys first day out. Ospreys have won 1-6 in the Pro 14 over the last couple of weeks. But if we're looking at Munster in broad terms and semi-final season, last year, and not for the first year, but last year, certainly their defence underpinned everything good they did, probably got them into a semi-final. And yet again, the attack, by the admission of their own players, Chris Farrell spoke about it, very upfront about the fact that they're not at the races when it comes to elite European level, when it comes to their attack, hence Stephen Larkham. So that is where Munster are once again this season. And a lot of the key players are again a year older. And we don't know, Van Grand said, I hope so, when he was asked if Joey Carberry is going to be back before Christmas. We don't know quite where Carberry is. Clearly, he's sacrificed his ankle in the short term to try and make a World Cup. So that is where Munster are as they go into Racing, Saracens and Ospreys.
Yeah, and I think they're lucky that they're playing the Ospreys first. And I think everyone's going to be targeting 10 points against them as a base for this pool. And Munster are kind of the kings of the pool stages. You know, they are the team that generally, apart from those two seasons where they didn't get there, they're generally able to get themselves through this, and their record of getting to quarter and semi-finals is excellent. It is the next step, but I don't think they can go away. They obviously need to develop their game plan for that point, but I don't think they can go away for what gets them through these months. And I think they need to go to Liberty Stadium and get 5 points and get as big a score as they can, because Racing are the kind of team that, although they're playing the Ospreys back to back over Christmas, they're the kind of team who can maybe let one of those games slip, you know, and that can edge you ahead of Racing. And for all that Mark McCall says that about Saracens, I mean, Saracens are the defending champions. They're a team full of players who just come back off losing a World Cup final, and it's their only chance of winning silverware, presuming the appeal is upheld. So Maro Itoje is not going to say, I'm sacking off Europe this season, unless he's not selected.
Correct.
Owen Farrell, the same. I mean, they're not going to get to a Premiership final. I think they've got it within their gift to get to stay up.
In spite of the 35 points deduction.
I think so, yeah. I think based on the last couple of seasons, they'll get there. You know, they've already made a decent start to the season. I think they're third in the Premiership. Mm-hmm. I still think they will probably be the tough... I mean, Munster has played them back-to-back at Christmas. They need to get as much as they can. They probably need 9 points from the first two games and then try and come out at least even over those two games of Christmas. But that's what they're really good at, is managing these ways through. They've got an issue at out-half with Carberry out. JJ Hannan pulled his hamstring at the weekend as well. Blindell looked really good when he came on. Set up that try for Conway. It was a lovely inside pass. He also had a lovely pass in the build-up to Rory Scannell's try. Looked really slick. There's nothing behind them, really. There's academy kids and or, you know, Scannell or even Conor Murray or someone slipping into 10. But while he's there, he's running the game well. So they and Dave Kilcoyne will be a loss as well, because he's a very important player who was in unbelievable form during the World Cup. So they're in good... I think they're in decent nick, although if they lose Blindell, they're in real trouble. And you know, Racing have made a really bad start to the season, so they should be, even though there's an emotional pull for two of their players coming over and Mike Prendergast in the coaching booth, there is they should get 9 points. I think this pool looked really tough when the draw was made, but the way the cards are falling, it looks like they can do one of their Munster tricks and manage through it.
Okay.
Whether they can get a home quarter final and all that goes with it remains to be seen.
And on the Stephen Larkham point, Keith, and this will be a question I suspect we'll ask across the course of the season, he's arrived, he's had a good look at them. What do you think he's privately saying or thinking about the players he has to work with here?
Well, he said a few things publicly, actually.
He said, I saw the public comments. I wonder what he's thinking, though.
Yeah, I think he likes what he is, what he has to work with, you know, and in different, I always love this when you come across a new coach and you see what he has with the players. His job is to get the most out of the players that he has. If they have a weakness, if they have a lack of skill in a certain way, his job is to make certain that they upskill. And I think if we were to look, and some of that can be a philosophical change to how you play. Some of it can be a technical skill element. And if you look, I think the best one to look at actually is Pat Lam from a philosophical perspective. He wants the guys to have a cut, pass it wide. He's done the same with Connacht as he's done with Bristol, watching Bristol play the other day with a mixture of skills and aggression was fantastic. And it bears the hallmark of a coach who wants to play in a particular style.
Yeah.
Larkham is, I mean, look, Larkham had the most extraordinary vague confidence as a player. I mean, he isn't the most athletic looking player of all time. He kind of used ghost in and out of contact, but he was supremely confident in his own ability. And he had that for all the players around him used to pick up off it. They would always follow him. And it's how can you translate that into being a coach? And he's a very process driven coach, but he also likes the idea of guys having a high skill set. So he hasn't been upset by it. No. And also he's only just been welcoming back in the Munster players. I just wanted to touch on one bit for Rory and Saracens.
Yeah.
When Mark McCall says, they're going to concentrate on the league. I wonder whether that actually would be the case. And because you're saying it wouldn't be the case, they'll definitely have a go at it and they won't want to not go at it. But sometimes you have to cut your cloth. And if they're fighting back a huge reduction in points, it may be to their benefit on the back of a tough World Cup for them as well. They get to the final, but literally got played off the park in the final. That takes a huge amount out of those players. Will it be better for those England players and for England for them not to be slugging it out for 20 matches or 25 matches this season? And maybe if they're not selected, is it a better place for them? They'll get more out of them in the future. So, you know, you just wonder, you know, whether they will decide to attack everything. I think they'd like to attack it with the team that played last weekend. And if you watched the resistance that they had and the joy that they had when they scored tries and got that win last weekend, because of the week that they'd put down, you know, it would be interesting to see whether those guys are given their head at different times when we wouldn't have expected them to.
It will. So 35 points. The exact quote from McCall, by the way, was, "We have to plan for worst case scenario, which will affect our strategy around the Champions Cup. Our job is to try and stay up." And he talked about, you know, it's a Lions year next year. He doesn't want this squad getting torn apart. They beat Gloucester at King's Home. Their opener, by the way, is away to Racing. And he said the World Cup contingent won't be rushed back. Alex Sanderson, the coach there, often does the interviews after games. And after the Gloucester win, he literally said he was going to quote Taylor Swift and haters are going to hate. And then he said, well, I'm not trying to make light of it, but that's what we're going to do. And we're going to use all the negative energy coming our way. And Gloucester fans are waving £50 notes and stuff in the crowd. On what's actually happened, Keith, because you'd have a good feel for contracts and what tends to happen in these departments, I suspect. There's a 9-month investigation and they have found very clearly that Saracens failed to disclose payments to players in each of the last three seasons and that the club did exceed the ceiling for payments to senior players in that time. It's a bit of an open secret as to what was happening. The Daily Mail did kind of great work on this last year. So Nigel Ray, the owner, invested with players, companies such as Vun Prop Limited, which is the Finopolas, Faz Investments, Owen Farrell, Wiggy Nine Limited, Richard Wigglesworth. They certainly didn't try and hide the names of these companies. They invested various things, anything from a coffee shop to property investments, all this kind of stuff. And Nigel Ray has said this is perfectly legal. And clearly the people who investigated what's been going on said, well, no, it's not. Now, a few things. One, I would suspect this is happening all over the place. Like, I mean, even in Ireland here, we have private investment in players' contracts. So I would think Saracens are far from the only team doing this. Is it illegal? Does it break rules, in your opinion?
Well, illegal is a
against the rules. Against the rules. Against the rules.
It's a difficult world in this situation. So, actually, to have a co-investment idea, there's a great article in The Guardian today. Michael Aylwin in The Guardian today. And it's hard because we haven't got any of the details on this. And I think the Premiership are making it a bit difficult for the idea that they haven't come out with the clarity of it. They've said the co-investment idea is permissible as long as the investor pays the market rate for any shareholding. So if he doesn't, if he overpays for us, that's then considered salary. Or but as an example, if somebody buys a company and says it's 50% shareholder of the company, sorry, the shareholder of the club, and 50% the player, that can go up or go down. If that's an investment at true value, that actually apparently is permissible within the rules. But because there's a bit of a vagueness over what it actually is or not, but I can tell you all the other clubs have been jumping up and down railing at this, and there has been a doubt over Saracens for the last number of years. But I think we need a little bit more detail as to what it is or not, because actually they say that those companies are fine, but it's exactly how they've been treated as to whether they're fine or not. And so they've said, look, it's not fine. And for the last couple of years, it hasn't been, but it isn't that way anymore. I don't know. It seemed like a slightly woolly answer. Not a woolly fine by any way, or the deduction. And it's whether they can go back and appeal it. But the appeal it is on a point of the rules around it as opposed to the law. And if it doesn't go to there, I would imagine they may go to the law of the land. And then what happens then? So it's, again, because everybody is actually talking, saying, well, they know what went on and what happened. We don't, actually. And they haven't fully said exactly what was crossed. So we don't know. And, like, it's interesting because we all love it, because everybody then starts gossiping, did they do this or that or whatever. But we do know the Saracens have the best squad in Europe for the last 3 or 4 years. And that is supposed to be done with 7 million quid plus two marquee players over the top, whatever they pay for those two. And it's hard to have that squad with that. But that is actually, and that's where the doubt keeps coming in for everybody.
Yeah.
But they say, as it stands for this year, are they saying it's okay, or it's okay going forward? So I don't know. So, like, the report that came out for it was that they had failed the rulings, but they didn't fully itemize what ones they'd failed. So we're still in the place of speculation.
Okay. Well, that's not
so. I read every different. Soon. Yeah, I read every different article on it over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. I'm still none the wiser as to exactly what it is that they have done, and to why their way of doing it is wrong and outside the rules.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Munster will have Saracens in those back-to-back games around Christmas, by the way. As for Ulster, who we mentioned, Bath away is their first game. Bath with 2 wins from 4 in the Premiership. They have their former captain, Stuart Hooper, 37 years of age, newly installed as director of rugby. He's replaced Todd Blackadder. Girvan Dempsey still the backs coach there. So we'll see how Ulster go at the weekend. Leinster and Connacht then. Leinster 42, Connacht 11 over the weekend. Rory, I know you watched this game. Leinster, in their pool, they have Benetton first up, they have Leon, they have Northampton, and then Connacht have, well, a tough assignment. Toulouse, rejuvenated semi-final last year. Montpellier and all that money and a huge pack, they have Montpellier first up, and they also have Gloucester thrown in as well. So Leinster 42, Connacht 11. Connacht have a bit of an injury crisis in the second row. We'll come to that in a second. But Leinster, firstly, look like they're in fairly smooth running order. They had Will Connors, 23-year-old flanker, get man of the match.
Yeah.
And everything I read seems to be suggesting that Ronan Kelleher, who was still only 21, will be the Irish hooker for quite some time, very, very soon. So things are humming along reasonably well at Leinster.
Very well. I think the Leinster selection this weekend is probably the most interesting of all, because do the World Cup players come in and march back in and take their jerseys, or do the players who've delivered really good results and really good performances so far hold on to the jerseys that they have? It's a manageable pool. There's no real reason to rush the players back. You know, you could probably bring some of them onto the bench against Treviso this weekend and then go stronger against Leon away next weekend. That's the luxury that Stuart Lancaster and Leo Cullen have. They utterly steamed. They made the most of the fact that Connacht are down second row numbers at the weekend. They beat them up front. It was really, really impressive. They had it won in 15, 20 minutes. I mean, teams don't generally go to the sports ground and walk all over Connacht in that way. It was mightily impressive.
As Leo Cullen said, we didn't actually do anything all that flash. We just won contact both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game, isn't it? I mean, it sounds like South Africa in the World Cup final. You know, they got down there, they stayed until they scored, and they went down again, you know, and then then they were able to kind of pick Connacht off as they chased the game. They did some nice things. Callagher threw a lovely offload in the build-up to one of the tries. He does look like the real deal. He's one of those names that you've heard for a couple of years. You know, there's an argument he should have been fast-tracked before this, given the paucity at hooker.
What kind of player is he, Rory?
He's an all-rounder. And I'd like to get, I don't know how much Keith has seen of him, given he is the international hooker in the yeah. room. But he does seem to have it all. And I know he scored a lot of tries, a lot of them are off the back of mauls, but he has the all-round game to go with the nuts and bolts. I don't know whether his throw is there yet, but that's probably Keith has a stronger opinion than I do.
Yeah, I don't, because I haven't seen enough of him to form a full opinion. But I would say that I always think when you have a guy of quality, he's athletic and capable and powerful. So that is, and he's a big enough unit, you know. And I'd always go back to coaches being bold, and Phil Kearns being picked from Randwick's second team straight into the Australian squad. Because they said, actually, we can make this guy into what we need him to be. And he was very young. He was 22 at the time. We can make him in. He can't throw for Taffy, but we can teach him that, and we'll figure out how to make him. He's a big unit, and he's a good footballer. And I'm always of that opinion, by the way, that you want to see guys that are able to sparkle and get them and give them a chance and to see what they can do. At times, front row is difficult. Hooker is difficult because you're exposed when you're throwing. But it depends how quickly that can happen. But when someone has a bit of talent, I think you need to take a little bit of a punt with him. Mm. Now, that could just be for Leinster at this stage. But we also know that some of the technical positions, if you get a bit of confidence, if you get a bit of a run, you can suddenly go from not close to it to leading the charge. Mm. And go back to Conor Murray from his unbelievable rise from being fifth or sixth scrum half in Munster to being a Lions scrum half within 18 months.
There's a nice opening for him as well. Sean Cronin's injured. You know, he seems to have jumped ahead of Brian Byrne anyway, and probably James Tracy. So I think he will get the exposure at the level that he has to at least put himself in the shop window. Mm. And if you're Leinster starting hooker in Europe, you've got a very good chance of at least being involved in the Six Nations.
Yeah, our rugby coverage is thanks to the Vodafone team of us, everyone in. We have Rory O'Connor from the Irish Independent and Keith Wood with us. Bath Ulster, by the way, Saturday, 1 o'clock. Leinster play at 3:15 Irish time against Benetton. Ospreys host Munster 5:30 on the Saturday, and it'll be Connacht at home to Montpellier on the Sunday, which will be tough. Andy Friend said, frankly, if we get into an arm wrestle with them, we're kind of goosed here. When you broadly look at these five pools, and there is a question mark over Saracens. Yeah. Are we so bold, given the World Cup and the year we've had for Irish rugby, to put Leinster in as initial favourites for this competition, or where are we?
I wouldn't rule out the fact that Clermont are back, you know, having missed out last year, and I know they haven't had a brilliant start to the season in France. Toulouse, I think the winner will come from Leinster or a French team. I think Saracens are so far ahead of the English pack that if they do sack this off, and maybe Exeter could finally fulfil their European destiny, but it's a big leap from not getting out of your pool to going and winning things. So I think Leinster are in a really, really strong position. They've got great depth. They've got players who are coming back with a point to prove. I know 4 years ago, no Irish team got out of the pool stages, but you know, Leinster and Munster were in a bad way back then, whereas if you think back to 2012, Leinster won it, 2008, Munster won it. So there is a history of coming off the back of this World Cup disappointment and going on and achieving. And Leinster seem to have a strong enough culture and a very strong coaching ticket. Munster, I know they've got new people, but they've got a decent stability there. They've a very strong core group of players. Mm. And while they've the tougher route, I think a run to the knockouts again is there for them. And even Ulster, you know, they did a lot right in Thomond Park at the weekend. It was actually I thought their basics let them down at times, but if they can get an away win in either the wreck or the stoop, which is pretty doable, they can get there as well. Connacht looks like a bit of an ask, but I think Leinster are definitely contenders to win the thing, and Munster, if they get the right run, have a chance. But I think next year is Munster's year. If Munster can win the Pro 14 and then bring in D'Alande and Steyman, then they are serious contenders next year. But they need to give themselves that favourable draw that Leinster gave themselves by winning the Pro 14.
Yeah. It's notable though, in your first initial answer, you didn't even have Munster in the conversation, really. They're still just that bit short when it gets to those stages.
I think so. Yeah. But if you get the right draw, and it, you know, and look at the way South Africa got through the World Cup, you know, they got the right knockout draw and then they produced a big performance in the final. Well, they're getting semi-finals on a regular basis. Yeah. One of these years, they'll get a decent draw.
Because they could argue they would have beaten Toulouse in Ireland in the semi-final, which Leinster did last year, and then you're in a final, and who knows what happens. Keith, do you have any strong feeling at the outset as we kick off Heineken Champions Cup coverage again?
No, I would expect a fairly high level of performance for the provinces this time. And if I go back to that lowest day of history, which was losing in Lens to Argentina, Munster got to the European final about six months later. So those things are possible. I think Munster is growing. It's doing pretty well. I think the signing of those two players are very, very significant because it puts in world-class players into positions where I think Munster have just been a little bit callow, and you have more players to build around. Also, I think within the midst of that is a huge drive to bringing through academy players and players that are in the under-20s and getting them through. It isn't just looking overseas. So I think there is a fairly significant focus on that side of the change in Munster, and that is beginning to show some dividends. Leinster are... they're a phenomenal squad of players, and we're now talking about new players that are coming through this year and at the end of last year as being serious contenders to play for Ireland. Their strength and depth is pretty phenomenal. They have an easier run through the pools. Ulster will struggle if they continue to have injuries, because I just still think the depth of their squad is a bit shallow. And to be honest, Connacht trying to go and play without second rows is crazy for them. So actually, the IRFU need to be able to put in whatever support structures are needed for them so they can get a couple of medical jokers in, because that is really, really needed.
Okay. Very, very final point on the Saracens thing, Rory. I know you probably didn't make it over to the Heineken Champions Cup launch.
I didn't.
Okay, but Rob Baxter was there. And obviously they're fairly livid with Saracens, and Chris Robshaw certainly went off and won. It was notable when Johnny Sexton was asked about it and what does this mean at a European level. He was very quick to say, well, there's no salary cap at European level, and who knows what the wage bills are here. You know, Leinster have a huge squad. So whatever the finding is, say it turns out they've broken the salary cap in the Premiership, we can't really extend that to diminishing what they've achieved in Europe, I would presume, because it's a level playing field in Europe.
Well, they broke, yeah. I mean, you do qualify for Europe on the back of your Premiership performance, yeah. so you do earn your seeding, but as a collection of players, if you can separate the two, as a collection of players and an organisation, they have done things very, very well as a sporting institution. Mm. How that was funded does come into question, but I don't think any Leinster players are going to look for gold medals for last season because Saracens broke the salary cap in the Premiership the year before. The IRFU subsidise Irish rugby by, you know, contracting Johnny Sexton and Conor Murray in the same way. It's almost it's a different version of the same thing, and that's how Leinster are able to go out and get Joe Tamani. It's how Munster are able to go out and get Snyman and Dialande, because Conor Murray and Peter O'Mahony are off the wage bill. So it's just a different model. So yeah, I think it probably will taint those two titles.
Would. Yeah, yeah. They'll be synonymous with it.
It'll definitely be a markup beside Saracen's name in people's minds. But at the same time, no one's gonna. If Leinster were to be given a fifth star based on last May, I don't think anyone will turn up for the presentation.
No. Okay, we'll leave it there. Keith Wood, thanks very much. Rory O'Connor of the Irish Independent. Thanks, fellas.
Cheers.
Cheers, gents.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.